Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, Hiring is Not an HR Process, Chapter 2, Part 2. The questions this cast answers are, how can I improve my ability to hire? Do I have to follow my company's standards? And how can I hire someone who doesn't meet our requirements? For answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Hey folks, it's the new year. And because of that, you may be thinking you want to start the year off strong with your team and your organization. Consider bringing Manager Tools on site to work with the individuals in your company for one of our training events. Now, it's that time of year. We know that. That is, people are moving around, more hiring is being done. So if you're looking to bring us on site for the Effective Manager Communicator or Effective Hiring Manager conferences, we'd love to come work with your team. Send us an email at maggie@manager-tools.com and she'll talk to you about our available dates.
You're thinking external. You got to also think internal, which means learning the hiring requirements.
Absolutely.
When they give you that flowchart, go down there. Ask them. If you're going to strengthen your hiring process, and in the process, perhaps lightly and without malice, step on some toes in HR, it's a very smart tactic to know what HR says the process is. It could be
that Absolutely.
They've given you a flowchart that's the documentation of the process. It could be that they do have a documented process, but it's not really published. It could be published and not readily available. It could be buried somewhere weird in the corporate intranet. It could all be laid out on the internal website, which is wonderful for what we're about to explain that we recommend you do. And they may not have any documentation at all, which means, by the way, in process speak, no documentation, and therefore very little ability to control the rules.
Exactly. Whatever they have, and it's, to Kate's point, it's going to be all over the place. Whatever they have, find it and learn it. This is going to be one of those times where it's good to have a friend in HR, right? Rather than making a blind ask, an uninformed ask, just saying, hey, can you give me all you have about hiring, and not being their number one priority, because let's face it, they've got their hands full. Having someone in HR you can ask is so much more beneficial. If you're a frontline manager and your boss has an admin and you have a good relationship with your boss's admin, which we really hope you do, and if you don't, start, you can ask that person to ask HR for their process, right? At a minimum, you want to get a hold of all of the job descriptions for the roles you hire in. Now, typically, job descriptions are a list of requirements, but you want to gather all of those things. Now, another thing to keep in mind while we're gathering them is, to Kate's point, sometimes there won't be documentation. Don't get snooty at HR for what they have or don't have. You're not going to make friends over there by saying, oh, this is it. Or, oh, well, this isn't very good. Don't. We've long encouraged Manager Tools managers to develop good relationships with their HR business partners. Remember that in most cases, what processes they do have are much more strict in many cases than they probably need to be. In virtually every part of every organization, over time, processes that aren't killed tend to pick up steam. They grow more detailed, more burdensome.
Death steam.
More restrictive.
Somebody says something like, well, we should add this because this one time, this one thing happened, and so we should add that.
Oh, yes.
And the process just grows and it becomes like just this huge monstrosity. I want to go back to job descriptions for just a minute, y'all. I find there are some, it's maybe a good starting place. Take a strong look at that. Job description, I find, A, the roles changed. B, HR can't know. They don't know what somebody on your team does. And I'm not even saying that as a ding on HR. I'm literally describing a scenario where the amount of scope it would require for an HR person to know everything is impossible. Your brain can't fit
impossible.
It. They don't know what's going on at the individual contributor level within your team. They can't. In the same way that you don't even know what's going on in your peer team's individual contributor level to an extent. You don't know what everything they're working on. Job descriptions are also, just so we're clear, largely, in my experience, obsolete. the second the person walks in the door.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true.
Yeah, they're meant to be almost like a, like if you consider like an average of what the individual contributors like do on your team, right? And it's not necessarily true at every level because as we move up, scope increases. Mm-hmm. If you're an engineering manager though, and you've got six engineers working for you, I tend to think of the job description as here's what the average of those six people would do because it's meant to be used for all six of those positions in many cases. So just
in many cases,
look into that, like be cautious about job descriptions. I bet if you even went back and looked at your own, you'd laugh a little because it's
a lot. You mean you'd laugh a lot, right? That's what you meant.
I mean, I was just trying to be nice because I didn't want to be like,
right?
I know. I was just trying to be nice.
I know. But to your point, they're obsolete, right? Especially because I hope many of us are hiring for the future, right? Not what this person can do today, which is what a job description says, but where we can grow them in the future. And that's different
mm-hmm.
for all of the instances. I mean, what I need in the future from this role is going to be different mm-hmm. in 6 months than it is today, based on what my current team is doing and where they're performing and where their skills are at. And looking at them every time is super helpful. They're not meant to be that prescriptive.
Yeah. And okay, so let's go back to HR's process.
Yes, HR's processes. They got teeth, okay? The fact that they've been there a long time means they got real restrictive and, oh, there's this one outlier. Let's add some additional burden into this process to account for that one outlier that happened that one time 4 years ago.
But we're not going to sass them about it.
Exactly. And this is natural in processes that do not get killed. And Let me be perfectly clear. It doesn't make an HR professional's career to offer to go through all of their internal processes and make them less burdensome. I mean, there's no awards being given out for that activity. They usually don't mean for the processes to get burdensome, but the details and burdens give HR power, right?
Complexity, and they don't mean that part either. Like they're not trying to create extra restrictive processes in order to gain more power. It's just true that it's a natural byproduct of that.
Yeah, it's purely unintentional. It's just another part of the layers of sedimentary bureaucracy that build up in organizations over the time, right? It settles in and that's where it is. And it usually takes a crisis, someone that's quite senior saying something like, the only way to make this all better is to tear everything down and start from scratch.
And you don't want to go through the kind of crisis it takes for someone to come in and say that. You don't.
You don't.
You don't want to be, you don't want your organization, well, I mean, maybe your organization's in that position because you just came through a global pandemic. Maybe not. And you don't want to go through that type of crisis. I watched The Big Short over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the kind of crisis that I'm thinking of right now because that's the last movie I watched. Also because it's great. Aaron Sorkin, you're my favorite. Aaron Sorkin's not listening to this, but I love his sense of justice and his tightly written banter. You just don't want to have to go through that level of crisis. And this really is where our opportunity comes in. Rather than complaining, instead, find places in the system where you can get what you want fast.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay. It won't necessarily all come in fast. Okay. But you want to find places in the system where you can get what you want. And we'd like to do as fast as possible with high quality candidates whom we can hire. And sure, that might mean bumping up against the standard process. We're still going to get what we want, which is quick, high quality candidate hires. We're just going to find that maybe we're like pushing the edge a little bit.
Right.
And okay, we said it, right? Some of the times they don't have a documented process.
Right. Which means if the process isn't documented, they'll have a much harder time enforcing the process on you because it's not documented, right?
Which means it's not a process.
Exactly. Which means it's not a process. So you've got some wiggle room. You got some space. Bottom line.
Good. Yeah.
You got to know as much as you can about what HR does and says about how you go about expanding your increasing involvement in virtually all aspects of your hiring process.
Absolutely.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. You got to know. You got to learn the rules before you can break them.
Yeah. Before you can break them. Exactly. You got to know how much space you've got, how much leeway you have before you can start stretching the rules.
There's so many podcasts on our website. We've been putting out at least one podcast a week for the last 17 years at this point. And you might not have time to listen to all those things. You might, in fact, prefer to read the way I do, the way some of us here do. If that's the case, you might consider purchasing a personal license to the website, which allows you access to all the show notes associated with our podcast. Sometimes we see people, you can buy individual show notes as well. We just want to let you know that it's $20 a month or $200 a year for a personal license. And if you're purchasing show notes, you might then consider upgrading your access to the website. Licenses also include access to executive tools. So if you're missing Mark and Mike, you can find them there as well. Personal license on our website, manager-tools.com, under products and personal license. So sourcing candidates, as we just talked about, right?
Yeah.
We're hoping you're doing that from your bench, from your experiences, from your past, from your network.
Mm-hmm.
Because sourcing candidates is probably HR's biggest restriction on most managers' ability to influence their hiring process.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the thing is, too many of us just assume that's the case. We behave a little bit like sheep. We just do as we're told. Uh-huh. We wait for HR to send candidates to us. And probably the single best way to gain increasing influence over your hiring process is to bring your own candidates to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of letting HR take the reins, do it yourself. Like, identify people, bring them in, support this process for yourself. Because as long as you let HR control what resumes you see, you're much more likely then to have to follow their process. Right?
I mean, absolutely.
Why wouldn't they ask you to go along with it? You've already started. You've already put yourself in their swimming pool.
Totally.
Remember when...
Yeah, we talked about this, folks,
yeah,
in terms of HR's ability to be helpful. It's limited, right? HR doesn't know the intricacies of your job, intricacies of requirements, what can sub for what skill or talent, the same way that you do. I mean, how could they? So remember, when they're gathering those resumes for you, they're also screening those resumes against what are likely unknown to you criteria. That means they don't know the same amount you do about a role, about skills, about talents, which means they're eliminating potentially hires, resumes from that stack to save you time.
Yeah.
But ones that you might think are worthy of a second look. You
right.
seeing them with a different set of eyes, a more knowledgeable set of eyes, is probably super helpful.
If you're not bringing your own resumes in, you're actually abdicating your ability to influence what resumes you see.
Exactly. Totally.
That's what we're doing. I mean,
you're giving it away.
And again, I think a lot of hiring managers really think, hey, I'm really busy, so I need help with this. And HR has access to more resumes, which I agree with that piece. They do have access to more resumes. And I don't disagree that you're probably busy. However, your focus on the work that's on your desk, it causes you not to think about the future. And that is tactical behavior over strategic.
Uh-huh.
If you're a middle manager and above, your responsibility is strategic choices as well as some tactical stuff. You're not thinking about the future if you're thinking to yourself, oh, I'll just take what HR gives me.
Exactly.
Even if you are accepting candidates from HR, if you're not, you know, looking at things from your bench, let's say you're going to bring in some resumes from HR. Cool. And it is true. They have access to more resumes than you. So I'm not suggesting that's a completely terrible idea. You can offer to assist them, though. You can, you know, find your friend in HR, ask them to allow you to review more of the resumes they get, even all of the resumes that they look at. Tell them you want to sync up your screening with theirs.
Yeah. Can I learn from you? Let me see how you do it.
Oh,
yeah.
And even say, I just like to understand the scope of the number of resumes we're getting. I have no insight into this process. I'd love to learn more. Smart HR professionals will welcome this help. They'll realize they don't have the bandwidth either to go through hundreds and hundreds of resumes with any actual focus on the roles we're hiring for. And hopefully you've chosen a smart HR friend, and they will see it as a chance to learn more about your particular needs. Y'all, they probably got into HR because they like people.
Yeah.
Which means they
have the potential to like you.
Yeah. Right. They could be your friend.
Potentially.
Maybe. But only if you're nice, which we've said before.
Only if you're nice.
Don't go down there and sass them and their process. And if they have 200 resumes to look at, imagine, oh gosh, so many. For some of us, that sounds like Mecca. For some of us, it sounds like a very long day.
Yeah.
Offer to look at them. Even though it is a lot, divide those resumes between two or three of your better team members, your top performers, and one or two other people, so you don't have to do it all by yourself. Get them involved. We're bringing in more minds in the same way that you can't know everything, and that's why you have smart people around you. Let's bring those smart people in. Remind them that your team members, that during this screening, they're not trying to just get to a manageable number of candidates to screen.
Mm-hmm.
This is like classic, right?
Yeah. It causes people to screen things for like, oh, there's this one tiny little error, right? Because there's so many resumes. It sometimes feels like, oh, well, we just got any fictitious reason to screen people out. Oh, there's one tiny spelling error. Or look, they missed this bullet. Or, oh, it's a little bit too long. Because there's so many, it feels like you need a reason to just knock people off the list. And it's a classic part of the process where everyone who screens applies really too tight screening to that list. But it means that you might miss someone who doesn't meet the criteria but has value or is worth a second look. Remember, those skill sets that aren't exactly what you asked for are exactly perfect, but hey, you know what? On second thought, they'll work. If you're just screening via a standard basic checklist, yes, 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 you're going to miss out on those other individuals that might work because you're not thinking beyond what is standard.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you've partnered with your HR business partner, which we hope you have, they'll be happy to accept that you're just going to screen or at least take a second look, right?
Yeah, help casual.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Gonna screen, just gonna take a second look, just wanna learn more about the candidate pool.
And
right. Y'all, resume screening, part of the reason we're suggesting that you should bring your directs into this is because resume screening is actually hard work. It's high functioning work to look at a resume, discern the course of someone's career.
Uh-huh.
If you only get one page to tell your entire story, it can be really tough to read that and understand what's going on. The more resumes you're directs get to see, the more likely they are to do better at this in the future.
Absolutely.
And you might go so far as to share a resume with your team that you decided to not say no to, which they might normally have ruled out, to give them an example of how to adjust their screening sensitivity. And if you've been to our Effective Hiring Manager event before, you've heard us talk about a principle of interviewing, which is during an interview, we're looking for reasons to say no, because we're trying to use our confirmation bias in that way. In this case, right now, we are talking specifically about when the markets change, when the market's really, really tight and you are struggling to bring people in. And this may be timely for some people. You may be listening to this at a time when it isn't at all part of what's going on. Right now, when we're recording this in December of 2022, because of the pandemic and because some people froze hiring and there were layoffs and things like that, some people's teams have been functioning down one or two people.
Yeah, for a long time.
Years, actually years. And if that's the position you're in and the market is about to loosen just a little bit, you're going to have more opportunities. And that's what we're trying to help you with. You can adjust your screening sensitivity without going into the interview, right? These are two separate pieces.
Yeah, like, totally.
What we're saying here is there might be some resumes to take a second look at. That still means that we're going to go into our interviewing with the same rigor.
Exactly. And this is, yeah, this is pre-phone screen even. This is
right.
Step one in the process.
They have no idea we're looking at their resume.
Yeah.
They don't.
Exactly.
They could have submitted it.
Totally.
Months ago. I mean, they have no insight into this process the same way you don't.
Right. Exactly. The same way you don't. Everyone's got no idea what's happening.
Everyone's in the dark.
Exactly. So what we've got now, we've talked about the pile, I'm going to call it, of resumes we've received from HR. Now, remembering back to a topic we discussed earlier, your bench. Your bench candidates certainly come with their own resumes, and those resumes may not be within that funnel of resumes that HR has got, right? Mm-hmm. Within the HR pile, your bench candidates might not have resumes there. But there are other ways to gather resumes too. That is, why is HR the only one going to the job board? You and your team can do a LinkedIn search. You don't mm-hmm. need HR to do that. There are a lot of ways to get those resumes. Tell your team to start looking at folks with whom they're connected on LinkedIn to see if those people have the requirements they might need. And this kind of speaks to what happens when the market is a bit tighter.
Yeah.
You know, that it's one thing to say, oh my gosh, there's 200 resumes. How do I whittle that pile down? There's so many. But many of us at many times in our careers are not in that position.
Right?
There's one person who submitted a resume. Now what? Well, how many connections do you have on LinkedIn? Plus, how many connections does everyone on your team have on LinkedIn? And guess what? That's what LinkedIn does. We all have our resumes on it. You can look at their resume without them ever applying, without them submitting a resume. You can look.
And you probably know more people than you think, honestly. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not even sure how many LinkedIn connections I have.
Oh, I literally have no idea.
Yeah. And if you want to be friends on LinkedIn, send me a note. That'd be great. Love to love it. Also because sometimes people reach out to us and they say, hey, I'm looking for this.
And exactly.
I'm happy to say, oh, I think maybe in my LinkedIn connections, there might be somebody you could talk to.
Yeah.
I love connecting people to other people who need them. It's one of my favorite things, actually. There's a little bit of that high eye left over in my profile kind of thing. If you have a bunch of LinkedIn connections, maybe your first level connections don't hold a ton of keys, but then think about how many people those people know.
Yeah.
Your network can be really big. And again, if you keep your network warm throughout the year with other stuff, and I'm going to reveal a secret of mine that's maybe helpful. We talked a lot about when you keep your network warm that you can use Control Shift K in Outlook.
Mm-hmm.
At the time when we were recording that, like that cast was recorded
years ago. I don't even know what year.
Years ago. There weren't a lot of email services, Outlook stuff that would allow you to schedule an email. There weren't.
Yes, like
it wasn't as easy to do.
Yes.
Nowadays, you can schedule an email.
Yeah. Very easily.
Yeah. So honestly, like if you set up scheduled emails that are, hey, hope you're doing well. And I mean, we're about to go, some of us are about to go on, if you're on holiday, if you've got some, you know, extra time. I say extra time as if anybody listening has a bunch of extra time. However, if you do this now, if you're not currently hiring,
yeah,
then when you do reach out, at least, you know, they've heard from you recently. And I know I've said that before.
You're not a total ghost. Like, it's not like a, who is this person? Let me look them up. Like, I can't remember this name.
I know I said that in part one. People keep saying to me, because we've been doing hiring manager trainings. I did one this week. I did two last month, back to back. People say, Kate, we just don't know where to get candidates from.
Yeah.
And the answer is, you know a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, so go there. And also the same goes for these job board places.
Yeah. Oh, there's tons of them.
Yeah. Indeed, Zip ZipRecruiter, Career Builder, Monster. These are all places that HR uses. And they're not the only people who are allowed to use them. You don't have to become an expert. You and your team go, you know, include these type of searches on these boards in your hiring iteration. And even if you don't decide to bring any of those people in, you could encourage your team to connect the same way you would on LinkedIn, right? With potential candidates on the boards as well. So you can stay abreast of people's careers. Again, like teach your team to keep their network warm.
Yeah.
These are tactical behaviors that create strategic benefits.
That's exactly it.
And they're very low level effort. It's very low level effort to schedule an email that says, hey, dude, hope you're well. Checking in.
Yeah. Just checking in. Exactly. Happy New Year. Hope you had a good holiday.
Yeah. Happy holidays.
It's a pretty easy one.
Haven't heard from you in a while. Saw your picture on whatever other social media thing you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, and you're right. Social media tools absolutely help with that, right? When somebody posts something, when people maybe give you a thumbs up to one of your posts, right? Just touch base with them. Hey, haven't heard from you in a while. How are you?
So funny. Like, I've largely disconnected from the social medias where you thumbs up things. And look, I mean, why not?
Why not?
I know people spend a lot of time on social media. I know they do. I watch people scroll. I watch them do it.
Absolutely. That's all for this week, folks. Come back next week for part 3 and the final part of this series. We'll be right back.